The gospel lesson today, which we'll circle around back to in the sermon a bit, has John making this assertion that on Jesus he has seen the Spirit descend and remain. Which I thought was sort of an interesting way. This is, as far as I can tell, John's gospel is a little confusing. As close as John gets to talking about the baptism of Jesus, I thought that was sort of an interesting way of signifying baptism, especially on a day when we might have had some, because we have water, but unless you have a gift that I don't necessarily see the Spirit manifested in and of itself. But I also think, and this is what I want to talk about for a minute here as part of Morsels and Stories this morning, that over the course of this year, we have seen the Spirit manifested in a bunch of ways in our community, and I wanted to take a minute to sort of brainstorm with you all some of those. So the question I have for you, which I would like answers to if you have them to share, is where are the places and ways you have seen the Spirit active in our community in the past year?
How we care for each other.
How we care for each other? The End Poverty Initiative is sort of our broader. Yeah, I think that's a really important way that we're working as a diocese.
Where I stayed, there were a group of people sitting together, and they were quite concerned when they heard that Mr. Katz had bought a piece of property, and maybe the people who were living there wouldn't have a place to live, and they wanted to be able to express that.
So in our concern for others?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Well, added to our concern for others is the way people respond to this bus ticket.
And the bus tickets we've helped purchase for the inner city pastoral ministry? 540 bus tickets? Oh, wow.
30 bus tickets were donated, and I had to buy 21 bus tickets.
Wonderful. That's a really concrete way. Yeah. I'm also remembering we had our second annual St. Peter's Fair this year. And that was really, we had our vacation Bible school this summer. I think when I came 3 years ago and a little bit now, none of you would have guessed we would be doing those things this year. Those are really amazing things that have happened. This last spring, while I was on leave, Fran helped organize a volunteer appreciation meal. Oh, yeah, that the kind of huge thing you did there. It's a kind of huge thing we did there. We bought new chairs, so coffee hour and other things that happen at the church are now more comfortable and easier to set up and take down, I think.
I was just going to say, I think it's important, and it's really helpful according to the people at the food bank.
Yeah.
The donation is, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And if you've been there, it's extremely easy.
That's a very important note. In a year where our sort of broader community of Edmonton and in some ways of Alberta are having a hard year, we've continued to give to the food bank. And I think you know this better than I do, Rob, but I think at about the same level we usually do.
It is, if not a bit more.
If not a bit more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not all of you may know this, but Rob is the person who shows up on a regular basis and takes our donations to the food bank, to the food bank. So we are all a part of that, but he's a really vital link between us and the food bank there. We've been pretty good this past year at making sure that when we have a chance and when we're able, we help people who don't have much to stay warm. which again is one of those really concrete things we've done. So just to sort of repeat and summarize so everyone has a chance to hear, it's in our worship and in this corporate act we're actually in the middle of right now. It's part of why all of you showed up this morning. Is there something that happens on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday mornings and other times we gather for worship that is powerful? Yeah, there are other ways our building and our resources are used and shared that hopefully help with the kingdom of God and being a better community. Did your hand move there? No, it was just my eyes. Okay. I think that's a pretty impressive list, really. I know there's this sort of, I think tomorrow is scientifically the hardest day of the year. And it's been a bit of a winter, and there were some really hard parts of last year, too. But I think it's important for us to remember a lot of the really amazing things we are doing that are exactly the right thing for us to be doing. So thank you for helping me do that. My dog, Grizz, was not always as well behaved as those of you who have met him know him to be. And, you know, he does pretty well for a very enthusiastic 90-pound dog nowadays. But there was a time when he didn't get to meet anyone, and he is perhaps one of the friendliest creatures on this planet. And the reason he didn't get to meet anyone is when I adopted him, he was completely untrained. So he thought that the best way to indicate he was someone's friend was to sort of bark and leap at them. And he wasn't 90 pounds back then, he was more like 65. And even when you're just a 65-pound dog, that isn't how people understand you to be friendly. It took a while to work that out, about 6 months, some really interesting walks we had there. But one of my very favorite stories about Grizz comes from that period. We weren't meeting many other people. We weren't really even like on the other dogs in the neighborhood's friend list because our behavior needed some work. Where we lived then, back in Helena, there's a sort of two-block stretch. It's called the Walking Wall, and it's mostly blocked off from cars, and it's really wide, so it was good because if we were having a rough moment, we could be out of the way of everyone else. I know it was pretty popular, so we were also getting a lot of exposure to other people and other dogs, and it was a good chance to both safely work on manners and actually be forced to work on our manners. And then there was the one day where a dog followed us home. And Grizz, it was not a day where Grizz was miraculously better behaved than he was other days. It was a lot of barking, it was a lot of leaping. I came home with kind of sore hands and a sore arm. But this dog had followed us home, which meant I then had my dog to put in the apartment and this other dog to figure out what to do with. Grizz was, I don't know, by now he was maybe 70, 75 pounds, so he was still pretty big. He was pretty young, he wouldn't have been much more than a year. And this other dog was, I remember her being sort of smaller and browner and shorter furred and really, really timid. She followed us home, which meant that Grizz was sort of pulling on my arm the whole end of the walk because the dog was just a little too far away. But she'd followed us, so I put Grizz up in the apartment and went out to see if the dog had tags on, because there was clearly a collar, and that meant that maybe she needed to go back to her family. And somehow I managed to get her to come close enough I could get Grizz's leash on her, and it felt really big in that moment because she was much smaller than Grizz's. She had a vaccine tag, so I knew she'd had her rabies recently in the past year, which meant someone was taking care of her, but she didn't have a phone number. So I wound up calling animal control, and they came and got her. And what I remember about that exchange is, one, it was a very nice person who came and picked her up. They promised they'd call and make sure, track down, because the vaccines are all, vets keep records of those, so they could find her family through that. And he said he'd been seeing her for several days and had not been able to get close enough to her. Which means that somehow my mostly untrained dog had convinced this very, very skittish, on the loose for several days dog that we were people she could be safe enough to get close to. This is not the behavior, the result of Grizz's behavior that I expected for about another 3 years. He was a little rough, he looked a little ragged. Every now and then we'd meet someone and they'd ask where I got him. I'd say, well, I adopted him. And say, oh, he looks like a pound dog. I never liked that response. But he had also gotten this skittish, scared dog to come close enough to us that she would get home to her family, who quite clearly liked her and wanted to love and take care of her. I never did find out what happened to that dog. I did follow up on the local Humane Society's page for the next couple of weeks. She never appeared there, so I assume she got home. Because of my wild, not that well-behaved, sort of scruffy dog. I think as the church, we give ourselves too little credit. We look around and we see not enough people. We see what we don't have, not enough money, not enough time, not enough resources. And we forget something very important. One of my professors in seminary would say that we overestimate what we can do in 2 years, and we underestimate what God can do in 5 years. Not, I would add, because in 5 years we mystically and magically get more time, more people, more resources, more of whatever it is we completely know that we are lacking. God can do more in 5 years than we imagine, because God looks at the scruffy, unmannered, not well-behaved dog and says, this dog can go home with you and become safe. Because God looks not at what we don't have, but at who we are trying to be. And the Spirit meets us in that moment in some way that we will never fully understand. We just talked a little bit about all of the ways the Spirit is, in fact, active among us. That we are doing the things that help that be manifest to each other and to our community around us. Which is really important. Because I think when John looks at Jesus, and they don't necessarily have a lot of interaction, even right before this. So John just sort of looks at Jesus and says, oh, the Holy Spirit is right there. We all hear the subtext of that is as, well, that's Jesus and not us. we're too unmannered, we need some more practice at being Christians. People walk in and they see all of the things that we see us as not having. The Holy Spirit does whatever she wants. And the Holy Spirit has long delighted in working with the faithful people of God exactly where they are with everything they don't have to bring about the kingdom of God among us all. Through bus tickets and scarves and socks and mitts, through coffee hours where your voice is heard and your presence is important, through times where the entire community can stop by and join us in a fair and a lunch and some fun, through all of those quiet moments that are really what get us out of bed and to church ever. It is so easy for us to miss those and to spend too much time worrying about the things we think we don't have but need, when what we have can do amazing things, because that is the kind of God we follow. That is the kind of God who loves us. I look at St. Peter's and I see the movement of the Holy Spirit so clearly in bringing me here, in the things we have done and begun and will continue, in all of your willingness to say, we think there might yet be more work for the people of God right here at St. Peter's. So the next time you think that we might be a little too scruffy around the edges, not quite polished enough, needing a little more practice on what it is to be a Christian, needing a little more time and energy and money, remember that sometimes it's the scruffy, unbehaved dog, the stray dog follows home to safety. Continue to imagine with me that perhaps through faith and the action of the Holy Spirit, we are exactly who we need to be for the challenges in front of us. Because that is what is true. Amen.